Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed. This is Merrick Larwood.
Hello there. You sound a bit depressed this week.
Oh, do I? Do you want me to do it again?
Yes.
Hello, welcome to...
No. Somewhere in between.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed. This is Merrick Larwood.
Just do the big me up a little bit more.
Okay. I'm David Reed, and this... is Merrick Larwood.
Yes, and do it.
I top geared it there.
I want you to put yourself down.
Okay, yeah.
So you're really self-conscious and you've got confidence.
Okay, yeah.
And then you think I'm amazing.
So you want me to hamster Hammond your...
Yeah, go for it.
Jeremy Clarkson. Hello, welcome to Film Fandango. I'm David Reed. This is Merrick Larwood.
Now that is how it should be done. How many episodes? Which is episode 127 or something?
Something like that.
And you've taken me to
it's taken feedback to really find out what you want.
You'd have...
I'm not a mind reader, Merrick. I can't. When you're just staring at me with anger at the beginning of each podcast, I don't know what that means.
I've got a natural frown.
Have you?
Well, my skull.
Tell me about
We've
your
all got
skull.
One.
Oh, yeah.
My mum used to say, stop frowning the whole time, stop frowning. I've got a dent. And you want to feel it?
Go on then.
David's putting his finger in the... See, there.
Oh, you do, don't you?
There's a massive indent in my skull. You can actually see my skull poking through my forehead. Not the bone, but the effect of my... So I've got a ridge, which means I frown, naturally frown. Is yours flat there?
Mine's fairly flat there, yeah.
What we're doing, we're putting our finger in between...
Where a laser pointer from a sniper would go.
Yes,
there.
Just below there.
There.
Has anyone else got a ridge there? Or what I'm trying to say is, am I deformed?
No, I don't think so. I think everyone's got slightly pronounced above the eyes, and maybe yours has just come together to create that hole in the middle.
Well, it's not a hole.
Is it not?
A hole.
Can you get your finger in it?
No, I can't reach through and touch my brain.
It's a shame.
We're not here to talk about introductions. We're not here to talk about... was it craniopathy? I made it up.
That is, yeah.
Is that the right word for it? Sounds good, isn't it?
It's great. I don't think it'd be an opathy.
Craniologist.
Craniologist.
The ones who did the bumps in the head.
Oh, that thing. What was that called? Oh God.
Bumpology.
Bump guys.
Bump guys.
The bump guys.
Yeah,
they
bump
were the bump guys.
Guys.
I can't remember. That's terrible.
This is... How many minutes did we waste?
Oh, we've nearly done it now. We're nearly there.
That's 3 minutes.
Yeah, 3 minutes of total guff. Skull guff.
I went to the cinema.
Okay.
I saw a film. See if you can guess what it was.
Well, I know what it was.
What is it?
But shall I guess anyway?
Yeah.
Okay, was it Need for Speed?
No, we know what. So why are you guessing the wrong thing?
Well, I'm just sort of padding it out with the other latest releases.
I went to go and see Under the Skin.
Under the Skin.
What is it? It's a film.
It's
directed by Jonathan Glazer.
Yep.
Who, it's the first film he's done for about 10 years or something like that.
What was his last one?
Well, he's well known for, he did a film called Birth, I haven't seen that, but he did Sexy Beast. It's probably his best known for.
I like Sexy Beast.
It's a very good film.
Made people reconsider Ben Kingsley and what he's capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Relaunched the career of Lovejoy.
Yes, it did.
And I find Ray Winston tolerable in it, when I find him lazy and boring in most other things. I wouldn't say it to his face, obviously, but he's brilliant in that. I think it's his best role. Yeah.
So this stars Scarlett Johansson as an alien.
Okay.
In Glasgow.
Finally, aliens are going somewhere other than Southern States America.
And it's filmed, a lot of this is filmed, I don't know how they got, the filming I've done, I did this prank show, and you have to get release forms for all the people to sign, to show their faces, and if you don't, you have to blur them out.
They did some of it guerrilla style, I think.
Yeah, but I don't know, I was watching from a part of me from a rights and legal perspective.
Yeah.
Thinking how,
I love to watch films in that.
It's always the best way to enjoy everything.
Yeah.
Break it down to what you can potentially get prosecuted for.
How on earth did they manage to get away with that? Yeah. That is fascinating.
So they're filming lots of people walking around. Scarlett Johansson sort of goes around Glasgow trying to find sort of prey in a sense of the word. So you have her wandering around, and you have lots of people who don't know they're being filmed.
Do you genuinely know it's that, not just good actors?
No, I read up quite a lot about this the film, and it was just hidden cameras and her walking around and people from Glasgow.
Well, people, you could be being filmed at any time these days, because SLR cameras have gotten so sophisticated,
yes,
that you wouldn't know.
Whether these people have agreed, whether they can show them on screen.
Mm.
Anyway, that's not the main point. That's just a side
it's
point.
Not what it's about.
If you're interested in that sort of thing, which I assume maybe 0.2 to 0.5% of our listeners are, which I think adds up to about half a
person. I mean, that's a high percentage of lawyers, to be honest,
yeah,
for a listenership.
Anyway, it works. She feels like an alien because she's it's so disparate. Is that the right difference? That's not the right word.
Distant.
Between Scarlett Johansson as a Hollywood figure,
yeah,
to the people of Glasgow, who are very, very nice people, but there's a certain Glaswegian look, you could say.
Yes.
So
a Scottish look, really.
Yeah, she stands out quite a lot from them. Now, this film has got a lot of praise from critics who say it's a, you know, I watched film 2014, and
right,
Danny Lee and the other critic were saying it's the best film, it's one of the most intriguing films I've seen in 10 years. It's a real, he's doing something different that really changes everyone's opinion of cinema. Peter Bradshaw and The Guardian gave it 5 stars, and
well, it's very artsy, isn't it, from what the trailers are showing. It isn't a traditional sort of narrative in...
It's been compared to The Man Who Fell to Earth with David Bowie. I haven't seen
a Nicholas Rogue film. It's great, but it's very sort of slow and cerebral and intimate, actually. There's a lot of not talking in it. There's a lot of just following him and watching his reaction to a rather indifferent world, and the slow realisation, you know, he sort of descends, really, as he becomes alienated by modern society, and you know the parallels with him being an alien are, you know, sort of obvious. But
okay, well, this feels it's I think the best way to understand it would be a film about an alien, maybe by an alien.
Okay,
if you see what I mean.
So are the humans not sort of shot empathetically or with understanding? Are they sort of?
No, I think it's. That is the way it's. I've talked about this before. It's one of those films you come out and I thought that is all right, but it stays with you because the musical score is very, very distinct. Because Scarlett Johansson is great at just having that almost a sort of blank page, you know, blank canvas,
yeah,
sort of acting, and she looks because she. She does look arresting, sort of a beauty. She looks, you could understand that she's an alien in comparison to her surroundings. And I think you get quite a realistic picture of the Glaswegian life almost, because it's so direct. There's no glamour, doesn't glamorise anything. It's very, very rough around the, you know, it's a very rough picture of Glasgow. There's no, it doesn't, it's not trying to be too filmic.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things, and people have said this before, there's a, that will stay with you for a long, long time, because they are, the content is shocking and shot without emotion.
Okay. I don't want any spoilers, because I will go and see this. It's the stuff that's been written about it has been interesting enough for going, okay.
It didn't blow me away.
Okay.
And I wrote, I tweeted about it saying I didn't understand what it was about, but I enjoyed it. And someone, Mark Bell, one of our listeners, wrote back to say he was still trying to work out what it's about. I don't really know what it's about. So you have to sort of work out in your head. And I think that it could
nothing
be...
Nothing wrong with that, though, is there? I mean, 2001 is exactly that.
Yeah.
All the information's there. You can work it out. It's not just a willfully obtuse, but it's not a narrative in the traditional sense.
Yeah, it didn't... It's sort of like... I say, it's an alien's perspective.
Like Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah,
like an episode of
without that. The jokes and just one down a notch on the acting.
Okay, so it doesn't have Joseph Gordon-Levitt or John Lithgow in it.
No, just goes down one notch.
Okay, that's interesting.
And there's some. It doesn't obey normal conventions in a lot of what it does, and that's why it feels odd. I don't know what it's supposed to mean, and I slightly. I don't particularly like critics who pretend, who sort of laud this thing, which is clearly not understandable or comprehensible.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Who back something and think, is it re- is there really something to it? Or is it just, am I too stupid?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I have not seen it, but I think there's definitely a facet of humanity where if other people are baffled, some people will pretend not to be just so they can look superior.
Yeah.
Or to pretend to be unfazed by the bafflement.
Yeah, I think there's a thing, isn't it, where you try and baffle people. There's a lot of police around the area today.
I'm sorry about that. We are safe here, though.
It is all kicking off.
I have diplomatic immunity!
In Camden Town. yeah, so I think a lot of people do. They make films that are purposely sort of... can be misunderstood or reinterpreted. Well, I mean, the Bible's a classic example, isn't it?
Oh, yeah,
it's not a film, but a book...
People I often wonder if it's written by an alien.
I think the same... I wouldn't be surprised if Jonathan Glazer wrote the Bible.
Yeah?
It's too... I don't like to say that a film that is very ambiguous is great. Because I don't know whether it's been done by mistake or not.
What other films have made you feel that way?
I cannot think of them.
Okay.
The words aren't coming to my mouth. The Great Beauty was an example I saw quite recently, which was that this Italian, it's been nominated for the best film, the BAFTAs, I think, Oscars as well.
Oscar for Best Foreign Film.
Did it win it?
Yeah.
I said you have to be Italian to really understand it, I think. And it was just, it was like a slice of Italian life. It never really said what it was. And lets the viewer sort of try and interpret it, which I thought was good in some ways, but had faults in other ways. It felt quite similar, that sort of, or they're very vast, different films, following someone through a narrative which isn't necessarily a set narrative. It's just
things, stuff happening.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you've intrigued me nonetheless. How many Marics would you give it?
7.
Okay.
Maybe 8. I don't know. I'm watching it thinking whether I watch it again. Whether I would enjoy watching it again, or whether it would just seem tedious.
Give it a year, maybe.
Yeah. I wouldn't watch that again.
Give it a year?
No.
No.
I wouldn't give a year. I'd give that a decade.
Is Under the Skin a cinematic experience, as in it would be better seen on the big screen with the proper sound system rather than on a TV?
For some bits of it, yes.
Yeah.
But some bits are so normal, it feels like a... you know, it just feels like they're filmed on a camcorder. I don't. But it's intriguing and it's different to. It's nice to see a different, hear a different voice. I hate that expression, but it's something a bit different. I think it's good that Scarlett Johansson is making these decisions to do films that aren't you know, she's doing the Avengers Assemble.
Yeah, well, she's doing the most mainstream films there are currently, and when she started out, you know, she first. Ghost became popular World. Because, well, she was in Ghost World, that didn't get her much attention, but she was in it. But Lost in Translation was her big breakout one, which certainly sounds a bit similar in terms of its slightly cerebral nature. Look, obviously very different films, but and then she did Girl with a Pearl Earring as well, where she's being a sort of almost alien beauty, I guess, somebody who gets under your skin. So maybe she's going back to all of that a bit because she's in the biggest franchise of all time. You can imagine somebody getting a bit bored of doing kung fu for years of their life.
I can never get bored of kung fu. But she's really I love watching her. I think she's brilliant.
Yeah.
I think she's really unique.
I saw her once.
Did you?
Yeah.
Around in London.
Yeah, I had a bit to drink, and so really wasn't at my sophisticated best.
Oh, Scott, I really think...
No, I genuinely, I walked out
of
a place.
Did you speak to her?
No, I didn't. I walked out of a place, and as I was with that sort of drunken march that you do when you decide, right, I'm leaving.
You were pissing at the same time.
Pissing and vomiting, yeah, no clothes on. Yeah. And walked straight out the door, and it was only once I was in the street that my brain caught up and went, that was Scarlett Johansson in there. And I went, no, I need to be sure. And just, with no class at all, marked straight back in, stared at her, and then walked out.
Where were you?
Yeah, that was her. Yeah, that was
her.
Where
were you?
I was at the Grab show.
Oh, no wonder.
Yeah. No, but she's, that was her.
Say hello next time.
Yeah, she is quite, you know, she is quite stunning. You know, that's, I mean, fairly obvious, but, you know, she is. I mean, I can understand how stick her amongst a load of Glaswegian people with terrible diets and no sunlight, and how she'd stand out of mine.
Yeah, she does. Oh, good. What? When you're not watching films,
yeah.
What are you doing?
I pretty much only do three things.
Yeah.
I eat. I sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I read people's emails to Film Fandango.
Emails to Film Fandango.
Yeah, people, if they have thoughts or if we've, you know, inspired them to join in with the dialogue about movies that we're trying to instigate here, then they can email us at dearfilmfandango@gmail.com and they're always a good read.
Well, here's one from Sheila Larkin. I'll read it, should I? I think I should read this one.
Go on then.
Hello, Buddy, David, and Buddy the dog.
She's got confused there, hasn't she?
Well, I don't think she has, because later on... I'm just listening back to Film Fandango again after I finally got to see 12 Years a Slave. I had to stop mid-podcast 116 because Merrick was giving up so much of 12 Years a Slave away. Bad Merrick. I know you don't need to talk about films. I know the premise of the movie was already out in public domain. But this much detail left me a tad annoyed. So annoyed you couldn't even write my name in the bloody email.
She called you Buddy.
Of the movie, I thought it was good. Harrowing not to be watched again, but I'm glad I watched it. Otherwise, I'd never be able to listen to you guys again. Joking, LOL. Went to see Non-Stop recently, too. Gosh, I love nonsensical plane movies. I just realised this as I watched Liam Neeson ham up the good cop gone bad, had to become an air marshal instead of Who Saves the Day. TMI, what's TMI? Too much information. Yes, yeah, too much is too much information, and you've just had a go at me for giving away too much information. I don't think I gave away, I can't remember.
I can't remember your chat on 12 Years a Slave. I don't think there are any spoilers in 12 Years a Slave, but maybe you've clearly felt there were.
I'm sorry.
Apologies for that.
I really try not to do any spoilers.
It's very hard to talk about films without talking about them. But
that's why we normally listen. If you look on iTunes, that's iTunes.
Yep.
You can see we always put the names of the films in.
We're going to talk about. So if you don't want anything spoiled, you can just skip over that one. And we usually put the names in the description in the order we're going to talk about them. So if you only want to listen to the second one, then jump to halfway point or whatever. But sorry if that's been spoiled. Non-Stop, yeah, I had no interest. I've seen Taken 2. It's Liam Neeson this time on a plane with a gun. And
I would like it.
Are we excited by him?
I thought if Liam Neeson had a stomach bug on the plane,
yeah,
and had to go to the toilet
non-stop,
that would be a better film.
Because everyone else in the plane would gradually need the toilet, not as much.
Yeah,
but a queue would start to form.
Well, that sort of thing start. The plane starts to get way down.
Also, people would start to be suspicious that someone had been in the toilet that long. What's he doing? Is he planting a bomb? I mean, that's a thriller,
well,
isn't it?
He's buying a sort of bomb, isn't he?
Hell of a bomb. I thought it just flushes out into the sky. They don't carry it with them.
I know, but I'm trying to make it more dramatic.
Oh, I see.
It'll be the same way as he went on.
Damaged at the beginning of the film.
It was blocked up.
Yeah.
So it's getting weird. Yes. Yeah, so
what? It's backing up.
It's going to be an explosion because there's been another problem, and yeah. the gas mains power supply. I don't know what the technical term for it probably is. It's right next to the turd compartment.
Oh my god!
And once that wall goes down, and the turd,
it's a perfect storm.
Yeah.
Oh, colon snakes on a plane.
And then after that, the sequel's non-plop, where he can't go to the toilet because in the first incident, spoilers for non-stop the shitting. Non-plop is he's got a mental block on going to the loo because of all the calamitous.
The classic reversal of the initial.
But he realised that he's not gone for so long, he's become a time bomb himself.
But he's now in a submarine.
Yes.
Because it's the opposite of a plane, isn't it? Yeah.
So, that's a good double. Non-stop and non-plop.
They're great. Great films. And it's one of those where I don't want them to complete the trilogy because I think they'd overreach.
No, they won't do that. And they were filmed at the same time, apparently.
Oh, really? Back
to
back?
Yeah, they just took the same... Chopped the wings of the plane, put it underwater.
Fair enough.
Took the chairs out.
Yeah, yeah. Stuck some different actors in there. I want to see this. Be better than just a man running around a plane with a gun, wouldn't it? That'd be better.
That'd be... You're constantly shitting yourself on a plane.
It's nightmarish. I mean, it's just horrible.
And the more suspicious you act, people are going to start thinking,
what's he doing in there? And the air marshal would try and kick the door in.
And he's about to propose to his wife on the plane, so he can't...
Oh, the worst time to get non-stop.
And he doesn't want her to know, and he's worried that she doesn't really love him, because she really hates anything to do with bodily functions.
The irony. Classic irony.
Anyway, that's enough of that business. I felt like that was going on non-stop. Someone will probably write in telling us off for spoiling our own made-up films. Here's a letter.
Okay, this is Joel Chivers. Chivers.
It'll be summertime soon. Don't worry, Joel.
He says...
That's my reference to it being winter. Joel Chivers.
Chivers. Oh, Chivers. Yeah. That's good. You should write that down.
Oh, dear.
He says at the end, actually, he's from Kent, so basically he says talks like an English person. But if you want a truly great Bane impression, imitate him whilst talking into a cup. I might do that as Joel Chivers.
Do that now.
I mean, there's coffee in this cup. Will that spoil it?
Hang on. Don't put it on my computer.
I've spoiled it all. Oh, it was gritty.
Dear David Merrick, buddy, and insert guest name if one is present. Beloved the podcast. Always look forward to hearing your thoughts on the latest films or great hidden gems and the occasional appearance of Buddy. I'm sure you've heard at some point or another someone's Desert Island Disc selection of 5 albums they've hung should the event arise that they are stuck on a desert island in the middle of nowhere and only have those to listen to. In a slight twist on that format, if you were stranded on a desert island with a portable DVD player, what would the 5 movies you'd take be with you be? Keep up the good work and keep the entertainment coming. Joel Chivers from Bromley in Kent. I was born in the dark.
It's quite good, isn't it?
Oh, very good.
I enjoyed that.
What are your 5 DVDs in?
5 DVDs. Can we do one at a time? Because it's quite difficult. I've not pre-thought this. I do know films that I bloody love.
There's ones you can watch over and over again.
I'd probably just take 5 copies of Castaway. Just to learn how to do it.
That's a really good one to do.
Was it just depress you watching Castaway?
I've never seen Castaway either.
Neither have I.
Just a ball, isn't it?
It's Wilson.
Man talks to a football.
Is it basketball, football?
Who cares?
Never seen it, wouldn't take it. Okay, number one for me, I would take my favourite film from my childhood, Time Bandits. Marek, over to you.
I think you need to take some film. I'm going to fit the theme of hope, because you need that, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah, to keep you going.
And the film I always have to watch, it's really boring, it's everyone's favourite film, is the film, it is about hope. It's The Shawshank Redemption, because every time you start to put it on, I have to finish it. You see a little bit of it, you find yourself watching it.
Yeah. It is a great film, isn't it? Everyone forgets it's a Stephen King book.
A short story.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. All right. Beastmaster.
Why?
I just love it. It's so daft. I just love it. Again, I'm going for nostalgia value here. I don't think I'd want complex adult issues and things to consider if I was marooned. I think I'd want something light and sort of enjoyable.
Okay. I'm going to go for Watership Down.
Oh, that would be depressing, wouldn't it?
No, but it's
you long for the black rabbit to come and take you away.
But it's quite a nice way of... if you haven't seen... you can't really... You can display.
Bright eyes,
burning
like fire.
How could the eyes... Burn so brightly, suddenly burn so pale, bright eyes. So you guys have good music as well.
Yeah, that's quite... Oh, musical's a good idea, isn't it?
Maybe it is for... Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, you want something long, I suppose.
Fitness video would be quite good.
What's those famous fitness films?
I'm going to take Jane Fonda's... I've never done it.
Yeah.
But Jane Fonda's... yoga, she did, didn't she? Remind me to the books.
Yeah, she did.
So that will make that. Sorry, that's three. So I'm taking Jane Fonda yoga purely from perspective of it's a health thing.
Okay, just to keep you healthy.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be a bit more ambitious. I might take I'd take like Ong Bak or something like that and try and repeat the moves of that. The Raid. I'd take The Raid. I'd try and learn. Kung Fu and stuff, Indonesian fighting techniques from The Raid.
Dragon's better.
Oh, Enter the Dragon's great, isn't it? That's slower. You could probably work it out better from that. The Raid's quite fast. I'll take The Raid.
So we've both got three each.
Yeah.
Because you're on your own, you're going to need some sort of love interest, aren't you?
Are you?
Yeah, for those...
Lonely nights.
Yeah.
Okay, so what... You're taking a skin flick, is basically what you're saying.
West Side Story.
Yeah.
No, I would take...
Marley and Me.
My first love was Princess Zarko. Is it Zarko? I'm gonna, no, is it, the one from... Flash Gordon. Because I thought she was...
It's Han Zarkov, formerly of NASA, you're thinking
yeah.
of.
Oh, yeah. The Russian one, played by an Italian woman. I'd take Flash Gordon.
Okay. As the person you're in love with.
Action and romance.
It's a great film. It's got good music as well, hasn't it?
Exactly.
You could listen to that. It would act like an album to listen to at the same time. Well, for that reason... what could I take? Flash Gordon is a good choice, isn't it? A film I could watch again and again and again. You know what? Casablanca.
Really?
It's a very good film.
I
think it would keep you going with the idea of self-sacrifice being in some way noble and hopeful. So that, you know, the fact I'm alone on a desert island getting nothing done, maybe the world is better as a result. No, you're not a fan of Casablanca.
I quite like it. I see what all the big fuss is about it.
I think it's very good.
And then I want to talk about, I watched a film again I hadn't seen recently. I think Pulp Fiction.
Great.
I'll take that. Yeah, I think Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction are so good because Tarantino's got slightly worse with every film.
Oh, I don't agree.
Oh, come on then.
No, I like Inglourious Basterds. I like
That's
Django.
Great. Django's not as good as...
It's not, but I like Inglourious Basterds, and it's better than Death Proof, so...
Oh, that was terrible. I had to fast-forward that.
That's just a blip, I think.
Yeah. But Pulp Fiction, it's like three films in one.
That's true.
So you're getting three. Like a box set in one film.
Yeah. I'd want a comedy, I think, is my final one.
Oh, that's a good idea. You're right. I should want a comedy.
I'm going to go for...
I want to change mine.
No, you can't.
Oh.
You can't. You're already on the plane. I've already thrown the discs through the door and I'm closing the door now.
Oh, no, now and now it's going to go non-stop. It's
non-stop to the desert island and then crash in the sea.
Because Liam Neeson's crashed a plane with his own shit.
Non-stop Neesoning. I'm going to go for Life of Brian. I think it is the best one.
Can I not have 21 Jump Street?
Instead well, you've got your fifth choice still, haven't you?
No, that was... what did I just say? Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction. That was your fourth.
No, I've got Jane Fonda's Workout.
Oh, yeah, you got that one.
Watership Down, Shawshank Redemption, Flash Gordon.
And Pulp Fiction.
No, I've got... yeah, I'll have Pulp Fiction.
Okay, well, there we go. Those are our films. Do you think we'd survive?
What do you mean?
On those films alone, I mean, would we go insane, or would we keep our sanity until we're rescued?
I think I'd last about 3 days for our meeting. That's just a normal life. Just
eating sand.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what.
Yeah.
We've done about 130 podcasts now.
Getting close.
And we thank you very much for your donations. They go towards paying for the Libsyn thing. We don't make any money out of it, and we've almost run out.
So if you've been, you know, waiting for your time to strike to donate towards Film Fandango and all the many hours of chat we have given you, then go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the link from there. And thank you to all those who already have. You are our heroes.
I look forward to the future.
And I look back to the past to learn the lessons of our forefathers. We are Film Fandango.
Keep watching the films.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.